why doesn't Jesus say anything? Why doesn't he proclaim who he is? Why doesn't he confront the disbelief of the crowds and the arrogant cowardice of the powers that be? But he says nothing. Surely there are others who will speak up for him. Where are the lepers who were healed? Where are the blind who now can see? Where are all the people who ate the bread and fish on the hillside? Where are those who followed Jesus so easily when they thought he would become king of the Jews? Yet no one speaks. No voice in the crowd comes to Jesus' defence. He stands alone. Jesus stands before Pilate, the power of Rome. Weakness stands before strength. And yet, Pilate, the ruthless enforcer of the empire, is not really in control here. He cannot make Jesus confess. He cannot quiet the crowds. For all his power, he cannot find the courage to do what is right. So he does what is safe. He yields to the crowds for the sake of order. Pilate washes his hands, a symbol of his lack of courage and strength and power, his lack of commitment to do what is right and just. The one who stands before the governor in chains, bruised from the beatings, spit on his face, is the person with real strength. Pilate washes his hands and abandons Jesus. But Jesus does not wash his hands of the Father's will or of us. He is determined to love you and me, regardless of the cost. We confess to you, our Lord and Saviour, that we have betrayed and denied you, forgotten and doubted you. When our faith is tested, we wonder where you are. When we see injustice in the world, we often stand by. We turn our backs. We ignore the cries of others. We confess again and again, we deny you and betray you, with our silence, when we fail to proclaim your good news, when we fail to live out your teachings and love our neighbours as ourselves. Forgive us, O God, and help us to truly repent. Help us to remember your sacrifice, your love, and to know your forgiveness. In the name of the one who lived, who was crucified, and who lives again, Jesus the Messiah, we pray. Amen.
The reading is from John chapter 19, verses 16 to 30. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been fulfilled and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked the sponge in it, put the sponge in a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.